I'd like to welcome Marga Gomez. She's a performer from San Francisco, and her solo act, Memory Tricks, is part of the Just for Laughs Festival here. And she also just performed in New York City during the Gay Games and the Stonewall.
Yes. Not as an athlete, though. I was the slowest runner in my gym class in high school. But I, you know, the wonderful thing about our community is that even with no athletic ability, you can have your few minutes at Yankee Stadium at the closing of the Gay Games. That's what I had. Yeah.
You closed the Gay Games.
I was one of the closers. It was probably the most thrilling thing I'd ever done. The crowd was wonderful. A lot of the, you know, athletes. I mean, the athletes were like half the stadium pretty much, and it was this fantastic spectacle. And Yankee Stadium is just a few blocks away from where I grew up in Manhattan, so it was like coming full circle. It felt like, yeah.
That closure thing or something. That's really nice. How many people were at Yankee Stadium? Like, what's the capacity there?
It seemed to be full. I think it's like 65,000.
Oh, that must be like one of the biggest crowds you've performed in front of.
That's right. If one person doesn't laugh, then there's 1,000 others who will. So, yeah, the odds were very good. Very good. I liked it that way.
So you had a Yankee Stadium laughing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then after that, I was like at a, you know, 50-seat club. So it sort of fluctuates widely where I perform.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you do memory tricks at Yankee Stadium? Was that?
Oh, no, no. I did stand up. You know, I've been doing stand up for about 10 years. And then memory tricks is one of the solo performances that I do. It's more a theater piece.
Okay.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That whole week at the Stonewall and Gay Games, I played at Central Park. I emceed with Harvey Firestein. I did benefits for the International Lesbian Gay Human Rights Commission, Igelherk. And it was just it was jokes, nothing but jokes. And now I'm into my artistic
peace
mode. Yes.
Peace.
Angst.
Yeah, yeah. Angst and drama.
And comedy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, from what I've read about memory tricks, there's the mother, resentment, longing, love, Alzheimer's. And I guess what strikes me is if you can't find some way to laugh at it, how do you cope with it?
Yeah, definitely that is the, I guess, one of the themes of memory tricks, or maybe just one of the devices that I use. I mean, it's hard for me to not be funny, to not use humor. And, you know, in my life with my mom, I mean, this is really a lot about my mother's heyday and her, you know, her golden years when she was just this incredible babe, femme fatale. And then the outcome of the piece is, you know, the present day with her illness, and how do we, you know, how do we salvage our relationship through, you know, the disappointment and the years of resentment and now this illness. And humor is really what you know, what comes through. Even when my mom was sick, she always, you know, we watched, you know, we put on comedy shows on TV, and she would, you know, she would just laugh. I don't even know if she knew what she was laughing at, but, you know, she would just laugh at the comedy. So it's not so odd to be doing this kind of piece with humor.
No, not at all. And I mean, sense of humor as a survival tool, I think, is really valid, just in terms of, like I was saying, the coping strategy thing, because sometimes...
Yeah.
Well, to share something like this mm-hmm. with people, I find using humor can be really valuable, because that is one way you're sort of entertaining. Well, you are entertaining people. And I think when you're entertaining them, I mean, they're listening. They're paying attention, and you're sharing your experiences with them. And
it's a lot. I mean, there's some of the same elements when, you know, in queer comedy, and, you know, we're sometimes like, I have another solo piece, Marga Gomez is Pretty Witty and Gay. And, you know, I talk about in the States, you know, the lifting the ban on gays and lesbians in the military, which, and this is really, I mean, this is a source of pain for a lot of people mm-hmm. that, you know, we're still discriminated against. And yet there's also so much ridiculous, there's, you know, so much of it that it is just stupid in the reasoning of these homophobes, that it's also, you know, there's a lot of comedy in there. So I think a lot, you know, a lot of queer comics, we found a way to use, you know, to use obstacles and pain, you know, let's say, and turn it into gold, turn it into comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the other side of the coin.
Yeah. When did you go to San Francisco, and why?
I moved to I grew up in New York, and Memory Tricks is set in New York in Latino teatro scene. But when I was old enough to run away from my parents, I did. I pretty much when I was 20, I moved to San Francisco. It was early 80s, and I had wanted to be a hippie. But it was a little late. All the hippies had gone into real estate, so
they were doing.
And I didn't even know that San Francisco was this big queer mecca. I didn't know that. I thought hippies. I thought free love, sex,
West.
And the first place that I went with my first lover. We drove across country. She drove. I don't know how to drive. And we broke up right after that. Because she's my first lover, and it's a rule, you can't keep your first lover.
Particularly after driving cross country.
Yeah, we started breaking up around the Grand Canyon. So there was a real divide there. And we got to San Francisco, and the first place, just looking on a map, I said, let's go to Castro Street, which, is like the big gay street there. And because I thought Castro, and I'm Cuban, and I thought that must be the Cuban neighborhood. So we went to Castro Street, and it was, really just a lot of white guys, but they were dressed just like Fidel Castro, because that look was in there, the green fatigues and those. Yeah, so I thought, they don't look Cuban. And and then I said, let's go have some rice and beans here. And we went to a restaurant, and they were right then just throwing out this guy in a beard and in a red dress. They just threw him right out on the sidewalk. And I remember thinking, at that time, it was, a guy in a dress. It was so strange, And of course, now it's my preference. I think men look best in dresses.
Kilts are quite big on the West Coast, I hear, for men. Is that kilts?
Kilts.
That Scottish kilt?
God,
is that still happening out there?
Yeah, I don't, it was, when did the kilts come in? Because I wanted one myself, because I thought, if I'm going to wear a skirt, I want to wear a men's skirt. I think it was last summer. They were really popular. Now, of course, it's like last season. It was, sort of a trendy thing, but they looked really nice. They're trying to, bring in the sarongs now. They're trying to get men to wear the sarongs.
Oh, yeah.
But it didn't. The guys really went for the kilts because, they're really into bodybuilding. And so they really want to show those leg muscles off. But
not only that, you're going to wear them low on the hip. And you've got, if you've built up your upper body, that can be quite nice, too.
They were looking good. They never got into the little, those pocketbooks that the Scottish men, I forget what they're called.
Right. And then there's the whole underwear thing, Whether they're wearing underwear or not.
Well, they were standing over, subway gratings quite a bit, and I thought, this is no coincidence. Waiting for a breeze.
So performing, I would say, comes quite naturally to you.
Definitely. I mean, I have no other job skills. My dad was a comedian, and that's really what I, because my mom was a dancer, and I can't dance. In fact, Latina, everybody tries to, take my hands and swing me and make me, I can't, I really, pursued the jokes. I dance more like Gloria Estefan in that video, where she's got the black leather chaps, very dominatrix Gloria, and she's just dancing to one side. She can never do the same step. Like both ways,
side,
to just run across the stage and do the same step. So
you grew up in a house of performers then?
I grew up an only child with my parents. They were, we had the whole top floor of the house was just all these elaborate costumes and sequins, feathers. And then I would, sometimes go with them to the shows and hang out backstage. And I just loved it. And, I grew up in a world of adults too, and in a world of show people and drag queens, because there were a lot of female impersonators. That was very, very big in the Latino shows back then, Love them on stage, and then we'll, chase them down the street afterwards,
Right.
But it was very interesting. In fact, when I came out, I didn't really come out to my parents. They told me. They figured it out. I had been sleeping on a single bed with my girlfriend, my first lover, for... in my father's house after they split up for about all summer, 2 months, in a single bed. And it just finally dawned on them. So I was told, but then my parents would go, we know them because we are in show business. So it was,
Really?
It was an interesting balance between the homophobia and acceptance, and appreciation for, I guess it was mostly a lot of female impersonators, but... there was sort of this double-edged thing. It was sort of a bluff, I think, that my parents tried. If they could just get really mad, and sort of, recreate the Inquisition for me, then perhaps I would stop. Because they didn't, you know, they didn't want me, I guess, to be, you know, hurt, you know, by the kinds of things that people say and do to queer people, the kinds of things that maybe my parents did. So,
yeah. That's often
they were looking out for
parents.
Their lesbian daughter.
I read something somewhere about some rumor going around about vampires or something. Vampire parents? Did I read that?
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Well, because my parents were show people, they worked at night. They had different body clocks, and so they basically, you know, both my parents really didn't wake up till, you know, noon. My mom would wake up at noon because she was the mother and she had to, you know, prepare the house. My father would wake up at 3, and they usually didn't leave the house, you know, until like the evening when it was time to go, you know, go to the show. They would either have the housekeeper get stuff or me get stuff at the store. And when they would go to the theater to go to work, they would, you know, have like full makeup on, and both, you know, my father also, and sunglasses. And so some of the people in the neighborhood, very superstitious from the old world, you know, Hispanica, which was a little island in the Caribbean next to Caucasia, they thought that my parents were vampires. And then I would hear this vicious rumor and be just, just totally shocked. And I would tell my parents what people were saying, and then they would laugh and say, "It's true." And then my parents would pretend they were vampires because, you know, I was their only child, so they, you know, I was the only one they could really torment.
Yeah, right. They had fun with you.
They did, yes. I was an amusement. Yeah. Of course, therapy helps now. I've gone to a little therapy. Of course, I didn't spend enough money. I went to a place that was in a shopping mall. It was called Therapy and Things. So now I'm actually, I'm feeling all right, though.
You're not in therapy anymore. Therapy and Things is over.
I got a book on codependency.
Okay.
Women Who Love Too Much. But it was secondhand, and as I started to read the book, I noticed that some of the paragraphs were highlighted by the woman who had the book before me. So the more I read, the more I took on her stuff.
Yeah. Really, no, you don't need her baggage, you know? You got your own.
Yeah.
When you started performing formally, I suppose, that would be in San Francisco? Like, what kind of clubs did you start performing in when you...
When I started doing stand-up, I went to open mics in the Hate in San Francisco, a place called The Other Cafe, and I had absolutely no idea what I was doing.
What propelled you then?
I had been doing theater. I mean, you know, it really was all that I had a passion for. And so even in high school and my couple of years of college, I went out for dramatics. And then in San Francisco, I auditioned for a feminist theater company called Lilith. And it was a political theater group, obviously, and they used comedy a lot in the work that they created. You know, they were definitely preaching and had it, you know, as an agitprop thing, but they always use some sort of, you know, comedy, commedia dell'arte. So I love the comedy. You know, whenever we had a funny scene, I would tend to milk the laughs and upstage and cause trouble and always be taken aside by the company members. So when I noticed the stand-up comedy scene happening, I figured, well, you know, let me just ditch these babes and go and do my own thing. And I bombed. Oh, I bombed. Totally went down in flames many times. But I started to figure it out. And then a club called Valencia Rose opened up in San Francisco, which had a gay and lesbian comedy night. And that was just perfect. The stuff I was doing wasn't out material, but when you went to the Valencia Rose, they encouraged you to be out and to do as much queer stuff as you could, and the audiences were great. I mean, even, you know, then I, you know, kind of just was hit and miss. They were very forgiving, and, you know, I just got a lot of stage time.
I guess.
At their expense.
Well, I mean, part of it is just, if, you know, just being out is, for an audience, is just a marvelous thing anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, say what you like. We're, you know, we love you.
Yeah.
Now, are you performing in gay and lesbian clubs as well as straight clubs? What's the ratio here? Doing lots of straight clubs too?
You know, I'm not even doing clubs so much. I think what is happening more is I'm getting into this, you know, I have three solo pieces, so three solo theater pieces now. And so I'm playing in theaters more and in concert settings when I tour out of San Francisco. basically, I think the only club that I play now is in San Francisco. It's called Josie's, and it's the same people who had the Valencia Rose, and they're good friends of mine. And it holds about 130, and this is, you know, it's home. It's in my home. That's it. It's better than my apartment, you know, and cleaner. So that's where I work out a lot of stand up, and then I've done these Olivia Lesbian cruises, and I'll perform there. So
really?
So yeah, I perform kind of odd places. As far as going to, yeah, it's like hundreds of women sailing all over the world where they've seen cruise ships with just heterosexual middle aged older couples, and suddenly there's like all these vibrant horny dykes coming off the ship. Widows are swimming to us from the village. It's wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah.
But so you got onto the cruise and
yeah, I sort of was the my job was the host. I was sort of the Julie of the love boat.
Rehab, yeah.
It was more the les boat than the love boat. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. We've been to Alaska. We've been to Greece. I've gone to Puerto Rico, and it's really and besides being fun, it's also it's a major educational global experience, because suddenly, you know, a village in Greece has, you know, hundreds of lesbians going to Lesbos, which is really not the best island in Greece, is it? It's really, you know, lesbians who go. Yeah. We've got to see that brick that was Sappho's house.
Yeah.
Of course, in San Francisco, you get $200,000 for that, for a fixer-upper. So I do, and then I do, you know, a little comedy act on the show, and I also am a game show host. I host the lesbian newlywed game on the ship, which is great. We try to just, you know, have some couples have been together for a few months, even up to 20 years, and try to destroy their relationships for fun and fabulous prizes. Then I do the theater, but the straight comedy clubs I don't go to, and I really, really admire the comics who do, the queer comics, or, you know, Suzanne Westenhofer is going to be playing here, Mark Davis, and it's really great. For me, it's just it's a little hard, because I sometimes feel very chameleon-like when I perform, and it's I'm not quite sure who to be, you know, how to do it for mainstream audiences. You know, I don't want to reinforce anything. I just feel freer, you know, to say whatever comes up in a queer audience. My audiences in San Francisco and elsewhere have been mixed, you know, especially for the shows. You know, more all kinds of people are coming. Bisexual, queer, straight, and I like that, but it's kind of, I want them to come meet me on my turf. I mean, I really try to get into universal stuff in my stand-up, and of course, Memory Tricks is really, you know, not even so much about my sexuality, really. It's about mom. There's no sexuality when we're talking about mom. It's her sexuality. So that, you know, that has really created a real interesting mix in the audience, and it's real nice. You know, some people, you know, who've never never thought they've seen a gay person, or, you know, sitting right next to a couple arm in arm, you know, in the theater, and
laughing at the same jokes,
exactly,
or something, you know, sharing
exactly
the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, you know. But the straight comedy clubs, it's just not my scene. I'm really more comfortable in sort of fringe counterculture, underground, and then theater.
Mm-hmm. And are you making a living from what you're doing? What with the cruises and the game shows and
yes,
theater and stuff?
Yeah, I've been very lucky. I've been able to do this for about 10 years and not have a day job. So
that is marvelous.
It had to be, because really I was a terrible waitress.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. The worst. I got my hair in everything. It's like, oh, here's your toast. Yes, that's my hair.
Sorry.
Oh, here's your water. Yeah, I guess I don't know how that got in there. I didn't know, you know, I was going bald, but now I've got all my hair back. And I got on that, but...
Well, waitressing hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. How did you end up in Just for Laughs? Somebody...
I think that was my manager, calling and bugging them and sending stuff. I think at first we were really approaching it for my stand-up. But because they do one solo performance a year, they were interested in finding out about my solo pieces. And Memory Tricks, I didn't expect that to be the one that they would book,
really?
Because of the ending, the last part of Memory Tricks. It's intense. it's sad, even though there's that humor all through, and it gets pretty ironic and dark towards the end. It just doesn't, it's not where I was expecting to take it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I think they really want to explore all that you can do with comedy and not put limits, that it's just stand-up. And so it should be interesting to see, what the response is and who comes to see it. I mean, I think of the pieces, it's really a mix of comedy and drama, but, you've really got to be ready to... go deep with the piece at the end. So, it's worked on both levels pretty good over the last 4 years.
Well, good for the festival too, for being willing to explore something other than, what you're describing as the stand-up comedy stuff. And over the past couple of years, I have noticed some kind of progression in terms of some of the acts that they do bring to town, and they are taking a few risks and they are trying a few different things. So I think it's marvelous, really.
Yeah.
And it's kind of neat that, they picked a piece that you didn't think that they would be interested in, so.
Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't say that, huh?
No, but it will be interesting. I mean, you've got 5 nights.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see who comes and, what the makeup of the audience is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're getting a fair bit of publicity, I think, from you're on the radio again this afternoon on the CBC, and then there was the local papers, and
I've been on like several interviews today in a TV show and all that. The other thing about Memory Tricks is that the next step that I'm going to take with it is to write a screenplay for American Playhouse, because they've optioned it, so. So that's real exciting. So if people see it here, then in about a year or two, they can like see the movie and see, the differences. Yeah.
And possibly you're writing the screenplay, would you be in it as well?
I would play myself as an adult, not as a child.
All right.
I was told I couldn't, I know Diana Ross has done it, but
she's Diana.
Yeah. I've got the pigtails and everything, but they say no.
Oh my, really?
Mm-hmm.
So in about a year's time.
Well, I guess about 2 years. Those movies take a little bit longer. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so things are moving for you then. Things are going pretty well.
Yeah, it's a great time. I mean, I've never had a really detailed thought out plan in my career, and I've done what I needed to do. I wanted to do stand up comedy, so I did it. Then I got, a call to do this solo piece, and I just took the challenge and wrote the piece, and and then wrote two more, and I lived in San Francisco, and they say you should live in L.A. or New York to really try to get a career in the states in the entertainment industry, but I've been able to really just launch a lot of stuff and live where I want to live. Although of course lately I haven't spent too much time at home, and see my girlfriend for about an hour every year. But she's coming with me, actually, going to Edinburgh after this.
For the cultural festival.
Yeah, so she's going to come off 3 weeks and,
So you're performing there as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
performing?
Big with the Scottish people. Oh, yes.
Are you?
Memory Tricks. No. I'm going to be doing two solo pieces, Memory Tricks and Marga Gomez Is Pretty Witty and Gay. So...
two pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you were kidding about the Scottish people there, or you don't know?
No, I don't. There, I just got back from London. That went really great. And so I'm really going to audiences where I'm really testing how universal is this piece? Will everybody get this? But, I performed it in Kentucky, and people loved it then. And I thought, if I can do this piece in Kentucky, I can pretty much go anywhere in the world, because that's pretty different from New York.
Hey, you can probably get yourself a really nice kilt in Scotland.
Yes, well, I have a dress that I'm going to wear here at the festival and I guess closing night, and it has those kilt pins.
Oh, yes.
And I have
very
a plan.
Nice.
It's hard to put the kilt, to get the kilt, because, I wore that kind of stuff so much when I was in Catholic school.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, and, not to say anything wrong, I mean, Catholic school was okay, and of course now, the nuns, of course, we have the lesbian nuns, and they're opening up their own discotheque in San Francisco called Dominica Nica Nica's. I'm going to Wet Habit Night. I'm very excited. But Yeah, but I don't know if plaid is something that I want to really put on again. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our time is up. Marga, thank you. Thank you very much. And
thank you so much, Renee. Don't walk away.
Good luck. Good luck at the show. Marga performs the 25th through the 30th at 9:30 p.m. That's at the Jesus Theater, which is the little theater at the bottom of a church, the bottom of a Catholic church, a very large Catholic church.
Yeah.
Yeah. That should be interesting.
So hopefully we'll have some lesbian nuns down there. Yeah.
Yeah, in their habits. 1,200 blurry. And it's part of the Just for Laughs Festival. The tickets are $15.50 plus tax. Thank you.
Thank you. How much tax? Why don't they just say how much it is?
Oh, they always do that. $15.50 plus tax. Oh, how much is tax?